Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
The PA Horse Breeders Association introduces the Pennsylvania Stallion Series. Four brand new races to be run at Parks for PA-sired, PA-bred two-year-olds. There are two $100,000 contests on August 22nd, PA Day at the Races. September 24th, PA Derby Day, has two more races, each with a $200,000 purse. The PA Stallion Series, yet another reason why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race. For more, please visit PABred.com.
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Got about 45 minutes, and we'll spend a little of it with John Dooley at Horseshoe Indianapolis, of course, and Seth Merrow to round out the Wednesday morning get-together. And, you know, we just talked to Chris Griffin in Philly, and he's taking advantage of everything that the Delaware Valley has to offer. Well, John Dooley has gone feet first into Indianapolis, and it was a fairly big weekend. Memorial Day is pretty hype when it comes to Indy. John, good morning.
Oh, good morning, Steve. Yeah, I took in my first Indianapolis 500 parade here in downtown. Of course, the big race, you know, at the Motor Speedway on Sunday. So, yeah, terrific Memorial Day holiday weekend racing-wise and in town, too.
What was your impression? And you know, I have never been, and it is one of those, you know, proverbial things that you in terms of spectacle, you know, and the race obviously, you know, is the race, you know, to go watch that. But I imagine it's very similar. The atmosphere in the city has got to be very similar to the lead up to Derby in Louisville.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, Steve, you know, after the last couple of years, I think fans were, you know, it was back to traditions, you know, whether, you know, obviously fans in the stands under the Twin Spires, you know, for the running of the Kentucky Derby. And here, obviously, it brought a massive crowd back to downtown. People were in town, obviously heading out to the Motor Speedway, you know, for Sunday's Indianapolis 500. And, you know, we saw some nice crowds joining us at Horseshoe Indianapolis. So that was good as well. So it was good for the area. And, you know, just great to have the crowds back celebrating sports.
Well, the moonlight on the Wabash, and for those of you old enough, you know, old enough to remember Jim Nabors, you know, singing "Back Home Again," and you know, much like you know, my old Kentucky home. It has that same you know, emotional response. Very, very interesting. And the old Brickyard. So
well, you know, it was a bit surreal because last time I saw now it's performed at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway by Jim Cornelison. Of course, I've seen him perform at the Blackhawks games. I've seen him perform on Arlington Million Day, and now here he is, you know, singing at the IMS.
Oh wow!
You know, on Indian 500 Day, Jim Cornelison.
Oh, how about that? That's a, that I didn't know that, but that is well, you must have you were around Chicago enough to have seen him in Chicago Stadium, right? For the Hawks.
Yep, I had a chance to see him there, and of course we'd have him out often at you know, Arlington, especially at Arlington
Million
Day he performed. So here he was, you know, not only at the parade, taking part and waving to the, so they estimated around 200,000 people here in downtown Indianapolis along the parade route. So it was fabulous. And then, of course, you know, the race itself brought everybody back to the speedway.
Outstanding. Well, it's been a couple of weeks since we spoke, so let's catch up on what's going on at the racetrack. And you managed to avoid, you know, some of the weather woes, right? Last week you got scuttled for a few races, but feels like things have moderated.
Well, as usual, I mean, same another week, but same weather story. A couple of nice days. Monday, yesterday, we were fast and firm. Kind of at this hour, we're still fast and firm at Horseshoe Indianapolis, but a chance of some severe weather later on in the afternoon. So it's basically the same thing from the last time we talked. So we'll keep our fingers crossed. I know, you know, Parks has a mandatory payout. Our pick five yesterday, we have that 11.99% takeout paid over $3,700. The pick five here yesterday, so don't lose that in the, you know, betting shuffle today. And the Straight Fire six, granted, that's a jackpot wager, starts in the third, but that's the six figures, over $100,000 in the Straight Fire six starting on the third race sprint.
Well, and I did notice yesterday you had the two-year-olds are starting to trickle in, both quarter horse and on the thoroughbred side. And I think it was on, I'm losing track of days a little bit, but I think on Monday I saw that Randy Klopp sent out that filly closer to the truth. That was, I think, in the opener on, was that Monday? It's got to be Monday.
Yeah, 2:30 opener, Andrea Rodriguez, yeah. I mean, she had a great job, one of the top apprentices here, if not the leading apprentice last season, but this year, a lot of bugs in the ranks here at Horseshoe Indianapolis, and Andrea getting things going now in 2022, and she had a winner this week, as you mentioned, with that newcomer in the 2:30 opener on Monday.
Now, and how about Wesley Ward? You got to call the Stone Street, right? That No Name Never filly that later on the card.
Yeah, it's good to have. Right? Again, you're always, you know, keeping your eyes to the sky, and we were on the turf that day. No Name Never, yeah, nice debut winner. Jareth Ludbury, of course, a two-time Arlington riding champion. He had a great meet down at the Fairgrounds this winter. He's kind of splitting his time up in, you know, between the south side and then coming here, you know, during the week, and he got on Wesley's newcomer. Yeah, Stone Street Stable, I think they were happy about that. No Name Never, gate to wire in that turf sprint for Wesley.
Well, and on Monday, in fact, now I do have the, here we go, I pulled up the charts, and Monday as well, you had a terrific 4,193 in the pick six, and 1,042 in the pick five. So the week has started out with some nice prices. I thought this sequence, John, with all those maiden races laden in there, it felt like there was a little bit of potential for chaos here today.
Yeah, and after yesterday, I mean, paying over $3,700 yesterday, and you know, with that takeout, as I mentioned, you know, just a moment ago, 11.99%, it draws in a lot of the bettors, you know, more money back to the handicappers. And, you know, I thought it was tough today. I have to mention, too, a couple of winners yesterday. Speaking of sports on the weekend, Marcelino Pedroza, he won a couple of three-time champion here. He won a couple of races yesterday, and he's still celebrating Real Madrid beating Liverpool in the Champions League final on Sunday. So good for Marcelino.
I love it. Well, you know, and we should mention, it does not take – we're not talking about winners, you know, 40-1 shots, 30-1 shots. There were only two tricky, really tricky horses in the sequence yesterday. Manny Esquivel with Nip and Tuck, who paid $18 in that 30 claimer fifth, and then there was also about an 8-1 shot for Antonio Duran and Santo Sanger that paid $17.60. Other than that, I mean, if you found those mid-priced long shots, you were in good shape, because the rest of the sequence was, you know, fairly straightforward: 7-2, 4-1, and 3-2.
Yeah, and you know, it's a great combination here. You talk about jockey and trainer duos, Manny Esquivel and Cipriano Contreras. I mean, that Nip and Tuck really, really dug his heels in for Manny Esquivel. He's having a you know, just solid meet here as usual in Indiana. And Cipriano Contreras also, that stable is really you know, firing on all cylinders here too.
Well, maybe a couple of ideas, John. You got a thought on this sequence? It starts in the fifth, the pick five. We've got non-winners of two lifetime Indiana breds, and then those maiden races I mentioned, and assuming that the weather holds off and we get those two turf races in, the seventh open company three-year-olds going a mile, and then open company fillies and mares turf sprinting in the ninth, assuming that we stay relatively dry. Couple of thoughts?
Yeah, really keeping my fingers crossed weather-wise. You know, Steve, you know, Fast and Firm of the Rail at 12 feet, X-Mark Turf Course. That's our sponsor, by the way, of the turf course this year. Thanks to Racing Rachel for getting that done with X-Mark. Mower is sponsoring our turf course. But, you know, eyes to the sky. But in that fifth race, normally our pick five sequence, glad you pointed that out to listeners. Usually our pick five sequence starts right after the third race, that straight fire six jackpot. But today it's on the fifth. So thanks for, you know, pointing that out. The 50-cent pick five races 5-9. But I have to say, I've been really impressed with this Indiana bred. I know it's the favorite. Hate to pick a favorite in the start of the pick five. But the Pickle Feet, you know, was kind of a long odds. Was, 20-1 plus on debut and won here. And then really battled Too Bad Justice last time out. That was a nice stakes winner Joe Ramos had here on Caesar Stakes Day with this Too Bad Justice. It was Joe's first Indiana stakes win. He had won a race at Monmouth Park, stakes-wise, a couple of years ago. But this Pickle Feet has the rail and really looking for him to run a good race. Of course, Marcelino's on one of the favorites, Me and Chili, for George Leonard III, too. So kind of a hard-knocking bunch of state-bred sprinters in the fifth.
Well, and just poking, let me see, what I glanced at. I'm glad you pointed out the Pickle Feet with the two performances, Anything Forward, Manolito, Amicable in here as well. I think absolutely. And if you go outside to that seven, Me and Chill, the 5-2 second choice for George Leonard, and seems to be moving forward since starting the season. Has already run twice since the meet started.
Yeah, well, actually, we've had a bunch of stats from our friends at Horse Racing Nation, Ed DeRosa and HRN, that, you know, these sprints here, for the most part this season, this will be the, 15th day that the jackpots rolled over at Horseshoe Indianapolis, but it's been tough to close on this track. But yesterday, you know, we saw that yesterday, horses coming from off the pace, so maybe things are making a turn, where maybe a horse like, Cielo Blue or Manuelito you referenced can, get their best stride late and maybe get up on the line, kind of through the early portions of the meet. We just didn't see that. You you needed to be, within a half length or stalking the pace. But yesterday we saw some closers get the money.
Well, the second leg and the start of the late pick four, the sixth, 5:05 Eastern, and these are maiden fives, and so you may have to dig a little deep and try to figure out, what hints there might be, and typically you'd like to prefer the lightly race types, but this is a group, John, that I suppose, even the ones that you might call the proverbial frog with the least warts, even they are tough to swallow in here based on, their limited tries. I mean, Katie Can't Keep Up has been, clobbered twice. You don't see horses run back too often that were beaten 71 lengths.
Yeah, and you have, you know, you have like a horse like the Rail Horse. I mean, obviously speed with Jose Riquelme, you know, he's been, you know, be offensive minded at 10 times, I confess. But, you know, it's interesting. Marvin Johnson, no trainer hotter. They're the barn of the month, Marvin Johnson. I mean, he's, you know, he's winning at over 21%, you know, over 50% in the money, and the stable's really been on fire. Kind of curious about 15-1, you know, this Cabin Abbey has Sammy Bermudez, you know, riding and, you know, took money, you know, as a second time starter, you know, the fire sale is on for Cabin Abbey, dropping class for $5,000. But wow, you know, one of the top outfits, you know, top trainer, he's, you know, he's dropping this gal down, you know, maybe looking for a confidence boost and is out there, you know, at least as far as the morning line odds go, you know, 12-1. I thought, you know, top trainer, good rider, you know, get some class relief. Well bet last night out as a second time starter, showed absolutely nothing except some brief speed, but maybe against these 5K types, you know, at a price in the late pick four.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Then we get into a sequence after you get through the nickel claimers. You do get a sequence of maiden special weights. And here's a mile on the grass. These are 3-year-old exclusives.
Yeah, this is kind of like where I'm kind of keeping my eyes to the sky right around this, you know, around the 4, 5, 6 o'clock hour. And you know, it's just such a shame. I mean, you know, you always hate it, you know, even as a, you know, as a broadcaster for the handicappers, you know, that take part in these multi-race pools, whether it's, you know, a mandatory carryover, you know, in Philly in a pick five or in us, you know, $100,000 straight fire six, yeah. Or you're in, you know, you're in on the pick five and then, you know, Mother Nature, you know, rears, you know, her hand and takes races off the turf. But I kind of like this Rail Horse, you know, kind of first round of 2022. Paulo Lobos had, you know, has a string of some horses here. Alex Achard is riding. And, you know, again, looking for a horse that's maybe been, you know, a gun runner, you know, on the turf and, you know, has that inside draw. But again, we'll see if we actually can stay on the X-Mark turf course at around 5:30 here Eastern.
Well, you know, that horse, it's funny that you've got, you're talking about Gunton Rowe, the Larry Best $300,000 purchase, mm-hmm. and first two starts for Christophe Clement, and you would think that, I mean, if the horse was meant for turf, that Christophe would have certainly gone in that direction. And of course, the horse kind of came to him and was ready to run late last year with starts in November and December, then disappears, gets sent to Paulo Lobo with Larry Best, you know, basically consolidating a lot of horses, you know, to Lobo, and he brings them out. There's also, you know, talking about barn switches, what about Andy McKeever picking up this horse from Gabriel Dunan? Ribbon Falls, 5-2, a classic Empire that debuted for Todd down at Gulfstream, and ran a kind of even race, actually. Got a little late and got passed by a few in the late stages, but that was not a bad debut to start the career. So Ribbon Falls now in the barn of McKeever. Andrew doesn't have a big number with first time with trainer stats, but you do have, you know, two very notable barn switches to deal with in here.
Yeah, and you know, I'm glad you mentioned that about you know, the Paulo Lobo horse with Alex Achard and Gunton Rowe. You know, maybe it was, you know, just the fact that it was kind of like, you know, November and then December as the winter starts, you know, rearing up there at those, you know, in Ozone Park, that maybe the, you know, that Christophe just couldn't, you know, get the, you know, kind of obviously a late developing son of Gunrunner, you know, that, you know, $300,000 Keeneland, you know, buy on the turf course there in New York. So obviously this horse winds up here, but then you have a horse like Bailey's Run, you know, turf wise has the speed, but, you know, Tony Grass, I've been waiting. It seems like now we're already into June. You know, we began in, you know, mid-April here at Horseshoe Indianapolis. I've been waiting for Tony Granis' stable to, you know, fire, really heat up. And, you know, Bailey's Run is another horse that has speed, you know, on the turf. But he's got these new, you know, new shooters coming in like Gunton Rowe, you know, Ribbon Falls. You mentioned having run, you know, kind of late March, that tough meet. I don't know if that was the championship meet or the new, Royal Palm meeting at that point in time at Gulfstream Park. But either way, Ribbon Falls ran on the turf at Gulfstream.
Well, it was at the end of the winter season. I'll give you another horse here that is going to be maybe every bit of the morning line 9-2. How about Miracle on Ice for Scooter Hughes?
Yeah, I mean, for Jim Craig fans and Mike Ruzzi fans around the world, you know, Herb Brooks, let's get Miracle on Ice at a price in our pick five.
I love it. I love it. Farron Peterson aboard, and how's she been doing, by the way?
You know, I mean, she's, you know, obviously spends time in Kentucky, and she was disqualified the other day with a horse. The stewards ruled that she lugged in, but there was a lot of debate post-race. Steve, I'll leave it at that about that disqualification, and was disappointed for her. I thought she deserved to stay up for that race. I wouldn't have taken her down.
You and seemingly everybody on the internet. That gets us to a turf sprint. Well, no, from what I saw, it was a crazy decision. The eighth race, these are state breds, and let's deal with this race because there's some debuters involved, which is you got to make some decisions, including Randy Klopp at 8-1 with Follow the Money and Overanalyze that Dennis Farkas. I haven't spoken to Dennis, and actually I have not seen Dennis's name much. if you know Dennis Farkas at all, Ian Wilkes has trained for. Amos has got one for Maggie Moss, 5-2 on the Radar, an exaggerator colt. Klopp has also got a second timer moving to grass. Hitchpin, a Texas Red. This looks like a slippery bunch.
Yeah, you know, so State Bred Maiden's going 3/4 mile in the eighth race at 6:07 p.m. Again, we'll see what we have weather-wise. But, you know, I mean, you know, Klopp and Joe Ramos, I mean, they've been a team. I mean, a great combination this year. Follow the Money. I mean, will it be as simple as that? You know, watch the tote. You know, this is the viewing son of, you know, Overanalyze. You know, I mean, $4,000, you know, as far as, you know, a yearling buy goes, you know, for 4K. But Joe Ramos, I mean, obviously you'd think, you know, he had Randy Klopp has Hitchpin in there too. And Joe rode Hitchpin on debut here. So you'd like to think maybe he had a choice and he goes with this newcomer and says, you know, follow the money, man. Maybe as simple as that.
And the nightcap, we've got Open Company Turf Sprint. I've got a big price firster. By Flatter for Scott Mullins, and otherwise, I guess Ann Maya has a firster out on the outside. In fact, an interestingly bred filly, as it happens, an Uncle Mo out of a Freud mare, and that she owns herself, 15-1, Alex Achard aboard. But there are no shortage of horses that have actually been out and have turned in some decent efforts. Ann Maya has got the 7-2 troublemaking. This one's had 17 tries, though. But if you're looking for a last out effort, how about troublemaking being beaten by Charty Party, who then turns around and comes to New York and wins a stake? So you know. That's a pretty nice, flattering effort that troublemaking comes out of.
Yeah, and you know, it was a 17 race maiden, so you know, obviously, you know, kind of some tepidation there as far as handicappers go, especially
exactly.
The last leg of Straight Fire Six, the jackpot over $100,000, pick five, late pick fours, the Miss Maribel, just to mention too, you know, Deshaun Parker, he's getting closer to that 6,000 career win plateau, and Bob Gorham is one away from 2,000 career training wins. So a couple of milestones we're watching here as we go through the week. Of course, no live racing on Friday. And we have an old quarter horse day on Saturday, Steve.
Very nice. Well, we certainly, Dr. Bob Gorham, that is a nice milestone, and I'm glad you brought that up. And you know, I'm certainly going to reach out to Doc after that. You know, after he knocks that off, and it sounds like that could come today too. I mean, he's probably. I didn't look at the Ohio starters, but he may have horses in Ohio today as well.
Yeah, that's a great such a veteran Midwest trainer. You know, I remember Bob back in the day when I called races at Thistledown. Multi great stakes winner there, and he's one away from 2,000. He actually ran a horse yesterday at Jack Thistledown. He ran a couple here, so still on the verge of that milestone for Bob. We're keeping our eyes on that at Horseshoe with Indianapolis.
He's got three today at Thistle. He's in the second, fourth, and fifth. All-Star Justice, Happy As You Go, and Charm of the City today, as well as party boy Floyd at Indy, and we'll keep. I'm glad. I'm really glad you said this. Yeah. And then tomorrow he's got Thistledown and Belterra as well, and Indy. And then, you know, the other thing that's coming up, since you mentioned that, Belterra's got the best of Ohio. This weekend.
Yeah, Bob, you know, has had success, you know, in Ohio. Thinking back, I think at one point, I think he won like four races on the old Hazel Park, you know, stakes races, you know, on one card. So he's definitely there. Of course, we'd like to see him, you know, hit the milestone here at Horseshoe Indianapolis, especially since Racing Rachel already has a sign made. So we'll see.
That's one of those funny things. When Asmussen was chasing his milestone, that was great. And every, like, virtually every racetrack in the country had the sign waiting, but it came at Saratoga. The record breaking, you know, because he.
It happened with Brad Cox too, down at the fairgrounds. We were waiting for him to get his 1,000th career win, and he wound up, you know, winning it with Louisiana Brett out of town. I turned to Joe Christopheck, and we both looked at each other. We had a sign. We had a sign for Brad.
Well, it might be a sign that we got a chance to talk to John Dooley and catch up on the action at Indy today, and it's a nice sequence. Let's hold our breath on the weather. John, good to catch up. I appreciate it, and we'll talk in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, cheers, Steve. Look forward to it, and all the best.
John Dooley, everybody, and Dooley taking advantage of life in Indy. Going to turn and bring in Seth Merrow, and always a fun way to close out the Wednesday conversations. Just gave me the thumbs up, and I have to, of course, ask the first question about the stalagmite in his freezer. if you didn't see Seth's, is it a stalagmite or a stalagmite? Which one goes up, and which one goes down? Case, do you need, did you get the computer back? I guess you did, because I can hear Seth Merrow now.
I am there, and I clicked off my sound just as you were getting the stalagmite, but I'm guessing. I'm not guessing. I know. You have to be referring to the tweet I put out. You ever have ice cubes do that? I have it all the time, and I finally was, you know, pushed to find out the answer, which somebody tweeted me the answer with the stalagmite, and I laughed when I read the article that referred to a stalagmite, because as I said when I tweeted back, it reminded me of my youthful visits to Howe Caverns. You know, you'd make the school trip to Howe Caverns, and they would explain the stalactite and the stalagmite, and I still remember tite because it has to grip to the roof, so that's how I know the difference between the two. But yeah, the little stalagmite on your ice cube. I was always kind of puzzled how that would happen, but now I know.
Well, that's one explanation. My preferred explanation, Seth, was that your condo there in Ballston is got something in common with Sigourney Weaver's apartment in Ghostbusters, and that. That Gozar is going to emerge from your refrigerator anytime. Gozar, the Gozarian, right?
I did do a cleaning the other day, a deep dive cleaning, pulled the shelves out and everything the other day, and there were a couple of things behind the vegetable bin that probably had been there a while, so it wouldn't surprise me if Gozer's in there.
Gozar the Gozarian, and actually, the more appropriate Ghostbuster character involving you would have to be the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, and you know, sailor. He's in town for a good time. And,
so long as it's not Rick Moranis, I'm okay. I'm okay with the rest of them.
We may have a, let's see, we may work out yet another nickname. Although people seemed to take to Kingfish last week. I had several references. People liked you as Kingfish Mero.
Yeah, that I'll go with that. I'll go with that. I'll be the...
Before I put the listing up today, I'll decide if it's Seth Stay Puffed or maybe Zool, the gatekeeper, and are you the keymaster? Keymaster,
yeah,
that's good too.
Yeah. that's what I said. I don't want to be the Rick Moranis character. Anybody but him. As he comes out into the hall to greet her going in, and then she kind of blows him up, and his door shuts and locks behind him. So now he's stuck out in the hall. That was one of the great scenes in the movie.
I love it. Well, it does seem that every attempt to capitalize off of Ghostbusters since has been more dismal than the next. All right, there was this latest one that came and went in about 30 seconds. Right, the one,
yeah,
in the
absolutely.
Last couple of months. Yeah,
and the female version I didn't see, which was what, a year and a half, 2 years ago, which had a great cast, and I'm tempted to see it, but the reviews on that weren't too good. Yeah, it's just that I guess was a one-off idea. Even the follow-up was okay, but it wasn't spectacular. You know, it didn't match up to the original.
No. Well, Seth, we question that everybody's asking are we going to see you at Belmont next week?
No. I mean, we haven't talked about it at all, so I'm assuming that's a no. But it's we've kind of cut down the trip since COVID and got back into it with the Florida Derby trip. But I still don't think we're in the full on the road mode yet. So I'll be in the studio on Belmont Stakes Day.
No bankroll action.
I haven't seen the June calendar yet. I think there may be some kind of a bankroll. There's a small pick three bankroll tomorrow. And there's also a Belmont Syndicate. And that's kind of fun, too, for people who are Capital OTV bet customers. They can put in $50, and I think there's 40 of them, and it so that's $2,000. Then Capital OTV, I think, chunks in another $500. And everybody who's in gets to put in their picks in races, and then a consensus is built. And so for a small amount of money, you can get in and take a shot at, I think that there's a pick five bet and a couple other bets, but it's kind of a fun, idea. So there'll be that syndicate, Belmont Stakes. And it opens on Friday to get your shot to be on the syndicate team. So that'll definitely be
nice.
Happening at Belmont Stakes Day. Yeah, that's fun.
Excellent. All right. Well, we got 15 minutes. Where have you been concentrating your action? And before we dive in and get some Seth Wednesdays, I do have to bring up a shocking headline from our favorite local newspaper. Did you happen to see the other day that the Times Union lauded NYRA on their final numbers for 2021, saying NYRA enjoys banner year?
I did not see that, but boy, you talk about yin and yang. I mean, they're all over the place, clearly, with horse racing. So, because they're up there, you know, Tim Wilkin now retired, but he used to have great coverage all meet long, and he'd be a guy who was in the press box longer than anybody else. And so they had that green sheet that did nice coverage of Saratoga, and then they put out that series earlier this year. So, you know, like I say, they're kind of all over the place.
Yeah, they talked about the numbers, and if people didn't see, I mean, just fueled clearly by the television show, by America's Day at the Races and the Saratoga special shows, very nice results for the year for the Racing Association. So I think it was nice.
Nice handle numbers, really also with the, you know, the big events this year and some of the big, and I noticed some of the smaller tracks on Monday were tweeting out pictures of nice crowds on Memorial Day. That was really great to see.
Yeah.
Tony Cawell tweeted out a picture up at Finger Lakes of a really nice crowd there. And that's really nice to see.
And away they go. He is very underrated, Tony Cawell.
Yeah,
very underappreciated. I think he calls a nice race.
Yeah, Tony's great. I used to have him on the show fairly regularly when we were doing the weekday mornings, and I haven't had him around in a while. I'll have to grab him and pull him on again. And usually he'll come down the thruway and make a visit or two to Saratoga as well. And he just hangs with some of his friends out in the backyard, and I'll go over and shoot the breeze with him. Tony's great.
Well, Seth, where are we playing Wednesday? Honestly, there's a lot to choose from. I couldn't resist having Chris Griffin on earlier, the last hour, to get a couple of thoughts on the Philadelphia force out. They've got the pick five force out, and the sequence in Indy seems a little squirrely because of all the maiden races, and of course we're sweating weather. Presque Isle has got a solid enough card, and have you transitioned a little bit the Presque Isle? I haven't gotten used to Presque Isle being run in the afternoons yet. I kind of like the 5:30 start.
Yeah, on Wednesdays I've been throwing some Presque Isle in when I've been on TV because that just works out. Some of the tracks we would normally do aren't running on Wednesdays now, so I've put a little bit of Presque Isle in. And, it's been fun. There's some familiar names from tracks, earlier in the year who transition up there on the trainer and the jockey side. So Presque Isle has definitely been fun. But today I'm actually not on TV. I looked at a little Delaware. I looked at the late bid for at Delaware. But because I was on Monday, I'm not on today. We pop back on tomorrow with that pick three bankroll promotion and looking at some of the tracks and Wednesdays, really, for the last month or so, I've been jumping in a little bit later and doing kind of a twilight version. So we catch up with the entire Belmont card and look at the first few races at Churchill on Thursdays as well. So that's been fun. But like I said, I looked at the late pick four at Delaware today, which is kind of it's a tough sequence. It's a fun sequence. I think if you hit it, you'll make some money. Yeah, I absolutely agree.
Delaware's off to a very nice start. I mentioned this last week when did you catch JJ with me on opening day?
No, I have been meaning to pull that up again because I know you said you had him on, and I wanted to pull it up and listen to that. The reunion, as it were. I mean, I remember, for folks who don't remember, I remember when you guys were on, and it was that radio show from Florida with JJ, and then they pulled you on. It was just, I want to say, on some little radio station in Florida, and eventually they put it on the internet, and it was really the first of its kind, and I can remember listening to that way back when. And so you have to pull up the reunion with JJ.
It was I was delighted that he was able to do it, and we'll certainly check in with him ahead of the big, the big weekends. But every glance that I've had so far, it's just a limited, we've had four cards, I think, but the handle's been good and the field size has been good. And this sequence today, the pick five starts in races three through seven. And it's actually a very thoughtful execution of that 15% pick five that Delaware is offering, because they left out the 2-year-old Nightcap, which is, all first time starters. So they were, some real thought went into the construction of this sequence, and players appreciate that. I mean, it would have been a lot to ask to put a completely mysterious bunch of unraced 2-year-olds into the sequence.
I looked at the pick four, so I used the 2-year-old race. I think the 2-year-old race is kind of fun. Yeah, no. I think this sequence can pay up, because the pick four starts in the fifth, and the fifth is a 12 horse field in here. There was a scratch in the body of the field that pulls in the that makes my ticket a little dicey here because it pulls in the Mike Ganey horse first off the AE list, and so I don't have that one on, but I can see Ganey.
No.
Exactly. I can see Ganey getting tossing me off the apple cart here early. But I'm in this first leg, the fifth, 7, 11, 6, and 8. And that's why I say it's a fun sequence. I'm going to put Mentalist on top, 15-1 on the morning line. And I think it hasn't been seen since Parks in January. I think the move back to the turf and down into a claimer might be interesting for this horse. The lone turf start that started the career in the Barn Grand Motion. They wanted turf, didn't get it. Then they got a turf race. Then they tried turf again and didn't get it. So clearly this horse early on was a little bit turf met and only had the one turf start, which number-wise matches up nicely with this group. It was also last year. This horse gets another little bit of a layoff. It may come back a little bit improved as a four-year-old, as lightly raced horses can. But there was a sibling called Nefertini that was a stakes winner and also broke her maiden on turf. So I thought that was a little bit interesting. So with the dip into the claiming ranks, the return to the turf, a little bit of a layup, maybe comes back. I thought the horse could be interesting at 15-1. Shoot the Messenger goes main special weight to maiden claiming. It's a horse by Gunrunner. I say it a lot. Horses that have a little win early breeding with Gunrunner, you had that. If they switch things up a little bit, they don't get the win in the first two or three starts, but then there's a little bit of a switch up. Maybe take another look, and I think the switch up here is the notable maiden special weight to maiden claiming move. So I'll toss that one in the mix. Criticized comes out of some jump races, but has some flat races underneath that I think match up okay with this bunch. And coming out of the series of steeplechase races, I thought Criticized could be an interesting player, and the zip factor from Jane Sibeli coming up from Gulfstream, I think is making a venue move that might be a little bit beneficial. So this is a tough leg to get through, but I think if I do get through, it's going to add some value. In the fifth, I went 7, 11, 6, and 8.
7, 11, 6, and 8. And, boy, you got your share here of nice prices. Mentalist, 15-1. Criticize, 8-1. And Zip Factor, 12-1. And then Shoot the Messenger, 4-1. But, you're darn tootin'. That horse of Dinny's is Turnpike Mike, 6-1 with the 7-pound bug. Maybe the nice thing about this pick four, obviously, is that you will get the benefit of watching the board in a maiden 16. Second leg, Seth, the optional claimer starter allowance.
I went 1, 6, and 5 to put John's Promise on top. 13 starts at Delaware, 11 in the exact. Hasn't been seen since early March at Laurel, but the return to a track where the horse has kind of a horse for a course angle. Similar situation with Ella's My Love, 5 times in the exact in 7 career starts. Was last seen at Tampa at the end of April. Goes out for a higher percentage trainer. I think the return to Delaware is going to be beneficial for this one. And Free Dancer, a little bit scary with the early speed coming in off a couple of tries at Penn National. And, watching various tracks over the past 2 or 3 months, seems like the Penn National horses have been shipping out and doing okay. Not necessarily spectacular, but doing okay. And I think this one's going to be live in here as well at a little bit of a price. So for me, in the sixth, I'll go 3 deep, 1, 6, and 5.
All right, got about 2 minutes, and you got a first-level allowance going 1 mile and 1/16 on the grass. Field of 9 with Jamie Ness sending out a favorite in Celtic Treasure.
7, 8, and 9 for me. I am going to avoid the Jamie Ness runner. That may be at my peril, but as I say, I think this sequence is kind of interesting. I went in it for the love on top, comes in good form off some Tampa races. Unconquered Spirit has some early speed, but hasn't been seen since last year at Delaware. And the workouts aren't really indicating one way or the other necessarily, but off a layoff last year, one in the first start of the season, so I hope that's similar this year. And Palio in the third spot, another horse coming off a layup, but Mike Stidham okay with horses off a layup. And being lightly raced, as I said earlier, might come back as an improved four-year-old. So, again, I may kick myself leaving the Jamie Ness horse out, but in the seventh, I'm three deep, seven, eight, and nine.
So, 6, 7, 8, 11 in the first leg, 1, 5, 6 in the second, 7, 8, 9, and that gets us to that maiden special. 2-year-old fillies, all unraced, including notably an Accelerate shows up here, and True Queen for Balthazar Galvin. This is the third Accelerate to start thus far of his first crop. Also a firster from Mosler, and always rooting for the Country Life Farm stallion. But Seth, I don't mean to step on your toes, but to me, Tappan Josie, the two from Jerry Robb, absolutely the filly to beat in here.
Yeah, I went back and forth, and eventually I went with Sansa Ariel. I went 4-2-1. Sansa Ariel worked 10 flat before the Ocala sale. The Dam took there's no siblings to look at. The Dam took 6 starts to win, but the Dam had a sibling called Big Q that won on debut and eventually was a minor stakes winner. So I thought there was a little bit win early there. Sky Mesa, I think, is sneaky win early. But, yeah, Tappan Josie, a couple of siblings that won within the first few starts, and that certainly John Robb, the trainer, has him ready, and that stands out. And then Lovely Lisa has a full sibling called Christina's Cosmo that was third, then fourth, and won in the third start. Another full sibling called Floki's Flight that was second in the only 2 starts of the career fairly recently. So I thought there was a little win early there also. 4-2-1 in the eighth.
All right, so a $54 ticket?
Yeah. More right. People than I'd like to go, but I think it'll pay if you get it. I think it'll pay if we get it.
There is no doubt, Seth. This has got lucrative written all over it. Well, there you go. Delaware today, we got Parks action, we got Indy, and we got Presque Isle. And we started the whole morning off with Dick and with Hong Kong, although Dick got beaten the last leg of that pick 3 again, second week in a row. Thanks to Seth Merrow, everybody. Seth Merrow 2 on your Twitter. John G. Dooley, of course, at Indy. Chris Griffin in the grandstand. Pete looms boldly. Sid Fernando, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hillendale. And Dick Powell back tomorrow, obviously, for the big Thursday get-together. Good luck today, everybody. Talk to you in the morning.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back.
And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet to detect gene doping in thoroughbreds. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.